Good evening. It's Friday, July 12th, 2013. You're listening to KSTK FM, Wrangell, Alaska. I'm Shady Grove Oliver, and coming up in evening news, we'll have a recap of last night's Planning and Zoning Commission meeting in Wrangell. Also, fishing for Dipak chum salmon slows down in Juneau, and one woman is dead after a house fire in Ketchikan. But first, we'll have a complete local and marine weather forecast. Taking a look at the zone weather forecast for Wrangell and surrounding areas tonight. Cloudy with scattered showers, lows around 50 degrees, and a northwest wind at 5 miles per hour, shifting to the southeast late. For Saturday, cloudy with scattered showers, highs around 62 degrees, and a northwest wind at 5 miles per hour. For Saturday night, mostly cloudy with scattered showers, lows around 51 degrees, and a southwest wind at 5 miles per hour. For Sunday, mostly cloudy, highs around 69 degrees, and a west wind at 10 miles per hour. For Sunday night and Monday, mostly cloudy, lows around 52 degrees, highs around 69. Turning next to the marine weather forecast, the synopsis for Southeast Alaska Inner Channels and Coastal Waters. A trough of low pressure over northern British Columbia will move south along the coastal mountains on Friday. A second trough will follow a similar path on Saturday. Meanwhile, high pressure with a marine layer and west winds will remain over the Gulf. In Frederick Sound tonight, a southwest wind at 10 knots, seas 2 feet or less. For Saturday and Saturday night, a southwest wind at 10 knots, seas 2 feet or less. For Sunday and Monday, a southwest wind at 15 knots, seas at 3 feet. In Sumner Strait tonight, a southwest wind at 20 knots, diminishing late, strongest near ocean entrances, seas at 4 feet. For Saturday, a southwest wind at 10 knots, seas 2 feet or less. For Saturday night, a west wind at 10 knots, seas 2 feet or less. And for Sunday, a southwest wind at 20 knots, seas at 4 feet. And finally, in Clarence Strait tonight, a northwest wind at 15 knots, diminishing late, seas at 3 feet with areas of fog late. For Saturday, a northwest wind at 10 knots, seas 2 feet or less, with areas of fog in the morning. For Saturday night, a northwest wind at 10 knots, seas 2 feet or less. For Sunday through Tuesday, a northwest wind at 20 knots, seas at 4 feet. Turning first to local news, the Planning and Zoning Commission last night discussed a controversial proposed ordinance change at its monthly meeting. The commission did not approve a request by Bernie Masson to change an ordinance that affects his property at Shoemaker Bay. Masson leases a large property at the bay. As the ordinance is currently written, his storage area must be in an enclosed building. In 2008, he asked that he be allowed to store boats and gear in an unenclosed area. The Planning and Zoning Commission denied that request then. He refiled the same request this year. He asked that outside storage be allowed if he erected a fence to obscure the view from the highway and water. Paula Rack says she's been against it for years. She says Masson has been storing equipment out there against the initial ordinance.
He hasn't been following the law, the ordinance. I don't know why we should give him permission to do something else that just opens up a whole new can of worms for other violations of it.
Commission member Stan Schnell also referenced the 2008 filing and asked if Masson could provide any assurance that his land wouldn't become an eyesore.
And Bernie, in 2008, when we went through this thing, I asked you, over and over and over, to give us some kind of assurance that if somebody pulled in a 20-foot boat covered with tarps, and the tarps got chewed up, that you would take care of it. And you just flat said you would not do it. You would not give us one assurance that you would clean up the mess or make it look good.
Well, all I can say about it is people bring their stuff in. I can tell them to do something, but whether they do it or not, I can't make somebody put a new tarp on the boat sometimes. I could, tell them to leave or whatever, but, it's not that easy. I would try to do that, but I can't make assurances that I can't. It's insurance out of the blue,
Masson says Wrangell is a working town, not a tourist town. He says he's just trying to support people making a living by giving them a low-cost space to store their boats. Ann Schnell also spoke out against the proposal during the public hearing.
Tourists all the time go by Shoemaker, and the people who live out there, we go by Shoemaker all the time, and we really don't want to see boat storage and fences. Shoemaker's a beautiful harbor. A lot of people live out there. And I'm just really against any industrial, commercial endeavor out there.
The commission voted overwhelmingly against Masson's proposal. Member Greg Knight was the only dissenting vote in favor of Masson. He says Wrangell needs to support its workers and its fishermen over tourist interests in the town. Turning next to regional news, fishing slowed down for the 85 boats that participated in yesterday's purse seine fishery in Juneau's Amalga Harbor Special Harvest Area. This was the second opening for returning Dipak chum salmon. While the effort was similar to last week's, commercial fisheries area biologist Dave Harris says the catching wasn't as robust.
Kind of all depends on the timing of the chums coming back, and it appears that the chum have been early this year. The peak was actually kind of in last week's opening, so you know we did catch that peak period.
During last week's July 4th opening, 84 boats harvested 645,000 chum salmon. Dipak Executive Director Eric Prestegard says the fish are selling for 55 to 60 cents a pound.
Last week they caught almost 5 million pounds, so that's almost $3 million in 6 hours.
This is only the second year this fishery has been open, and Prestegard hopes Dipak can continue to do it every year. And finally, in regional news, a deadly fire engulfed a home off Ketchikan's South Tongass Highway Thursday morning. Neighbors say the flames were accompanied by the sounds of exploding ammunition. KRBD's Sean Carlson and Marco Torres were on the scene and compiled this report.
One woman is dead and a home burnt beyond repair after a fire on Force Avenue Thursday morning. Petrina Calvin, who owns the property with her husband Brian, escaped from the house with her 2-year-old child. The cause of the fire is not yet known. More details should be available pending investigation by the state fire marshal. Dozens of friends, family, and neighbors watched from the street as members of the South Tongass Volunteer Fire Department battled the blaze throughout the morning. By the time the fire was put out by noon, all that remained was the smoldering frame of the house and the stone mantle of a fireplace. South Tongass Volunteer Fire Department Chief Steve Rideen says the 911 call came in around 9 a.m. When firefighters arrived on scene, the house was already engulfed. A boat, truck, and detached garage also were damaged. But it was sometime after emergency responders arrived, Rideen says, that they learned about the woman still inside.
I was probably 15 minutes into the incident that I found out that there was a possible person unaccounted for. At that time, we assessed the building. The structure was not stable enough to send anybody in. We eventually found a person deceased in the back corner bedroom of the lower unit.
The Calvins declined to speak on the record for this story, but friends and neighbors confirmed that the downstairs of the house was rented out. Firefighters on the scene said they had no information about the dead woman and will not release information until the state fire marshal completes its investigation. Firefighters prevented anyone on the scene from getting close to the smoldering remains of the house due to fears of imminent collapse. Chief Rideen confirmed that one large explosion accompanied the fire, but could not say whether it was caused by one of the 2 known propane tanks in the home. The chief did say that Brian Calvin owned a number of firearms. The ammunition from those guns, he said, exploded during the fire. The sound of those explosions, neighbors say, was distinctive. Harold Carson lives directly across the street from the Calvins.
We entertained, Netherville and I entertained the thought about going up the driveway and pulling the boat down. But about then, the bullets started going off. And there was literally bullets ricocheting off the windows in the house and next to it.
Another neighbor, Kendra Vonda, lives directly next door to the Calvins. She says that she was at home with her baby when the fire started and was not aware of it until neighbors and firefighters came running to her door.
It was really, really scary to see that. And I had my little baby with me. She's 10 months old. And that house is just toasted. I guess a lady died in there. That's so sad. And yeah, the people next door, I mean, they saved our lives. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for them.
A couple of donation sites have been set up to aid the Calvins, who friends say have lost everything. Alltech Network Solutions at 2300 Tongass Avenue is accepting donations of anything, from gift cards to clothing, during regular business hours. And the South Tongass Alliance Church, which the Calvins attend, is accepting checks made out to the church with Calvin on the memo line. The church office at 540 Water Street, Suite 303, is open 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesdays through Fridays. With help from Marco Torres, I'm Sean Carlson in Ketchikan.
To aid in the investigation of the fire, South Tongass Volunteer Fire Department officials have asked that any photos of the fire be sent to them. And that wraps up our evening newscast. Thanks for tuning in to KSTK-FM, your source for daily local news in Wrangell. You can check us out anytime online at kstk.org, or you can find us on Facebook. Stay tuned. The Alaska Fisheries Report is coming up next. You can also tune in to KSTK tomorrow morning for our weekend news wrap-up.